This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. After I graduated from college back in 1986, I worked full-time as a security guard for a warehouse in the inner city of Minneapolis. Now, during my breaks and also during lunch, I would hang out at the loading dock with the various other employees. And I remember one time we were having lunch together, and we were all talking about whether our lives were going the way we wanted them to go. Each in turn shared his view of how his life was going. I remember one man in his early 20s saying, "Oh, my life is great. I've got lots of stuff." Most of the guys there seemed to agree with him. His life was great. They were thinking, "Yeah, he does have lots of stuff. You know, that's what matters in life." But then their faces developed a confused and even mocking expression when it was my turn to talk about whether my life was going the way I wanted it to go. You see, up to this point, all they thought was that I was a security guard and nothing more. Well, I explained that I was working two jobs, another one besides my security guard job, in order to save money to go to seminary so I could become a pastor. You could hear a pin drop. I know what they were thinking. "Are you crazy? What a waste of time and money. I mean, you're young, you're single, you could be spending that money on yourself. You could be partying. You could be collecting lots of stuff. Are you insane?" Sadly, many people in this nation think that making money and acquiring lots of stuff is what life is all about. And what's really shocking is that even we Christians can get caught up in this sinful game. I remember once seeing a car with a bumper sticker that read, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins." Of course, this slogan is expressing the philosophy of life, the philosophy that life is about having as much fun as you can and acquiring as much stuff as you can before you die, because you know when you die, that's all there is. You cease to exist, so you better party now. However, do you recall the gospel reading from two Sundays ago? Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Fear him who after killing the body has the power to throw you into hell." My friends, our existence does not end after death. All people will live forever. The question is, where and with whom will you live forever? If we live and die worshiping ourselves and our possessions, we will live forever in hell, separated from God's love for all eternity. But if we live and die worshiping God and trusting in Jesus as our greatest treasure, then we will live forever in heaven, basking in God's love forever. You know, those guys in the loading dock where I worked as a security guard, they thought I was a fool. They thought I was a fool because I was saving money in order to attend seminary. They thought I was a fool for believing God's word, for actually believing that I was a sinner and that Jesus was the only Savior for sinners like me. They thought I was a fool for striving to live according to God's will, saying no to sin that would be so much fun for a young man like me, and instead saying yes to God's loving plan for my life, which they thought was boring. Yes, they thought I was a fool. But the sad fact is that they were the real fools, and they didn't even realize it. In today's gospel reading, we see that someone in the crowd that had been listening to Jesus preach comes to Jesus and he asks a favor. He says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, this is really amazing. You see, Jesus had been warning them about the false teaching of the Pharisees and how it could lead them to hell. Jesus also had been preaching about how they needed to repent of their sin and trust in Him and Him alone for forgiveness and deliverance from hell. But after hearing all of that, all this guy wants is for Jesus to take his side in a financial dispute with his brother. Now, of course, we dare not judge this man too harshly, as though we are above such things. I'm afraid we're all guilty of treating God like a genie in a lamp whose job it is to grant all our wishes so we can have all the stuff that we think will make us happy. We sometimes forget that we are sinners whom God should condemn to hell for all eternity. We forget that Jesus came to rescue us from this fate by taking our sin upon Himself and dying on the cross in our place of damnation. We forget that our greatest treasure, the only treasure that matters at all, is God's love for us and our need to worship Him and trust His Word. You know, people in America don't like to hear sermons about money. Now, I could understand that. I could understand that if all pastors ever did was talk about money and the need to give money to the church and stuff like that. If that were all that pastors ever preached about, I could understand that. But honestly, I don't know too many pastors who preach about money all the time. In fact, as of this June, I will have been here 8 years, and I can count on both my hands the times I have preached about money from this pulpit, and I would probably still have some fingers left over. However, I should actually repent for preaching about money so little in the almost 8 years I've been here. The reason I say that is that Jesus taught about money quite a bit. Just read the Gospels and you will be surprised how often Jesus brings up the subject of money and material possessions. And today's Gospel reading is just one example. I think the reason that we Americans don't like to hear sermons about money is that we're so easily tempted to worship money and our possessions. We're willing to tell people a whole lot about ourselves, even some very personal and intimate information. But rarely do we let people know how much money we make, much less how we spend that money. Boy, that's something we don't want anyone to know. You see, Scripture is very clear that whatever money we make is not our money at all. It's God's money. We're merely stewards of His money. Now, God, in His mercy, lets us use His money for basic needs. He also lets us use His money to obtain various wants and even some luxuries. But God also teaches us that we should use His money first and foremost to support the mission of His church and to help the truly needy in our midst and around the world. God also warns us against the danger of worshiping money, because that sin can lead us to ignore God and even hurt other people. For example, if we think that money is what we need most in life, then we're going to do all we can to obtain money while ignoring God and failing to support His church with our offerings. If we think that money is what we need most in life, then we will be willing to sacrifice anything, maybe even relationships with family and friends, just so we can have the money and possessions we love and think we deserve. For example, in today's Gospel reading, we see that a man wants Jesus to help him get money from his brother. Now, I'm sure that this man's relationship with his brother was totally dysfunctional and broken. And why? Because they both loved money more than each other, and they both loved money more than God. Therefore, Jesus says to them, "Who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" In other words, Jesus was saying, man, haven't you heard a word I've been preaching? I didn't come into this world to solve your financial disputes. I came into this world to save you from your sin. And let me tell you, one of your sins is apparently your love and worship of money. And then Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Then Jesus goes on to tell a story about a man who is blessed with a bumper crop. But instead of falling on his knees and giving thanks to God, instead of first considering how much of God's money he will give to church and charity, this man says to himself, hey, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like how people talk when they win the lottery. Sound familiar? One of the reasons it is so difficult to be a Christian in America is that we have been blessed with so much. Even the poor in our society are rich compared with many people in this world. God has given us so much. But I'm afraid that instead of falling on our knees every single day and thanking God for what He has given us, instead of first asking ourselves how much of God's money we're going to give to church and charity, we are sometimes guilty of looking at our paychecks and saying, now, how do I get to spend this money on me? My friends, God wants to rescue us from the sin of greed and where that sin can lead us. Remember Jesus' story about the rich fool who worshipped his money? God said to the rich fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Now the big question is, how does all this apply to us? Well, please understand, Jesus is not saying that it is a sin to have money and possessions. In fact, money is a gift from God, and we can use money to do many good things, can't we? We get to use God's money to support the mission of His church. We get to use God's money to help the truly needy of this world who don't even have enough money for the basic necessities of life. God also lets us use His money to obtain the things that we need for ourselves, like food and clothing and shelter and medicine and transportation and other necessities. But on top of that, God even lets us use His money for various wants and luxuries, which we in America have in abundance. Don't we? However, even though God blesses us so much because He loves us, God also warns us about the danger of worshiping our money and possessions and making those things the focus of our lives. And one sign that we are committing this sin is when we do not make giving to church and charity the first line item in our monthly budgets. If our focus is in the right place, the first thing we should do when we get our paycheck is say, okay, how much do I get to give right off the top to church and charity? But the temptation is to think first of how we get to spend the money on us, and then if there's anything left over, and a lot of times there isn't, then we give the leftovers to God and to charity. So God warns us. He warns us of the signs when we're starting to be enslaved by greed. When we are thinking only of ourselves instead of putting God and others first, we're guilty of greed and we're not rich toward God. And you know what, my friends? It doesn't matter if you make $500,000 a year or if you make less than $10,000 a year. Both the poor and the rich alike can be guilty of worshiping money. Therefore, we need to repent. We need to repent and remember that our only real treasure is the God who created us, the God who provides for us, and the God who sent His own Son to die for our sins, to rescue us from the hell we deserve and give us the hope of eternal life in His love. That's right, my friends. Even though we all struggle with greed, and your pastor does too, we can come to Jesus with our sin of greed and know that He forgives us because He died for that sin too. Not only does Jesus forgive you, but He longs to give you real and lasting riches. How does that work now in our lives? Well, let's say you are among the poor of this world. And by poor, I mean you don't know where your next meal is coming from. You maybe don't even have a place to live. You don't even have any clothes to wear. You don't have access to any medical care whatsoever. I mean, you're living in poverty. Well, don't despair. Remember what Paul said in our reading from 1 Timothy? If you have food and clothing, be content. And I would add, even if you don't have food and clothing, still remember that you're rich if you trust in Jesus. As Paul said, we came into the world with nothing, we'll leave with nothing. However, we actually get to leave with everything if we die trusting in Jesus. You see, when Paul said that we leave this world with nothing, he was referring to our physical possessions. But if you trust in Jesus, you actually live and die with everything. So, to the truly poor of this world, I say to you, trust in Jesus, and remember that through Him you have what you truly need, His forgiveness, His love, and the hope of eternal life, even in the face of death. If you have that, you are truly rich. And remember that God will provide for you in this life as He sees best. And if He does allow you to live in poverty, it's only to help you focus on Him all the more. Now, if you are among the rich of this world, and I suggest to you that even the very poor in America are among the rich of this world, well then give thanks to God every single day. And first consider how you can use His money to support Christ's church and help the truly needy of the world. I want you to listen to what Paul says to us in our reading from 1 Timothy. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world," referring to Christians like you and me who have been blessed so much. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share." My friends, because Jesus loves us, because He loved those men on that loading dock that I tried to witness to so many years ago, Jesus says to all of us, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. My friends, Jesus is our only real treasure. Even though we can thank God for all the physical blessings He's given us, and even though we can enjoy them because they're gifts from God and He wants us to enjoy them, they are not our real treasure, not even close. Our real treasure is Jesus. He has blessed us with the riches of forgiveness, love, and the certain hope of eternal life. A hope that is certain even in the face of death itself, when, by the way, we lose everything except Jesus. On top of all that, almost a secondary issue, God promises to provide for our earthly needs as He sees best. So we can enjoy the money and possessions God gives us. We also, even more, get to use God's money to support His church and help the needy of our world. But we must always remember that our only real and lasting treasure is Jesus. And if we trust in Him, then we are truly rich. Now, I have to tell you something. Many people in this world think we are utter fools for believing what I just taught you this morning. Many people think we are utter fools for giving our hard-earned money to church. Many people think we are utter fools for sacrificing for the sake of others. But God says, if any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. Do you know what that means? We can thank God every day that we are fools. Fools for Christ. He is our wisdom, and we are truly rich through faith in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.